Chapter 7. Bearers of Bad News. The morning sun was high above the horizon, and the dew that had graced the leaves and wild grasses had burned away already. There was a nervous edge to the mood of the goblins as they took their morning meal. Jinzan Fair was stomping through the camp, his glare clearing a path before him as the human sorcerer waded among his goblin hosts. He sought out Githak to find out what had befallen. "What is this about?" Jinzan demanded of Githak when he found the goblin general. He was ill-kempt and bleary-eyed from having just awakened, having come directly from his tent, seeking neither grooming nor dawn feast. "I was supposed to be informed as soon as the runners arrived with news of the battle. Here it is, full morning, and yet I was not awakened."
"They have not returned yet,"
Githak replied simply and calmly. This stopped Jinzan short.
"You were not alerted due to this event not happening. Had we received news from the battle, this news would have been yours to know as well."
The two of them each understood the other's language, but each spoke his own. Jinzan could hack and cough out bits of the harsh goblin tongue when he had to, but preferred to spare his throat the pain it caused him. Githak would grow winded with all of the vowels of the Migrin dialect of human that Jinzan spoke. "What do you mean? The runners should have been sent as soon as there was word. The battle should have been over hours ago. Send out a search party immediately to find out what has become of them," Jinzan ordered, not even bothering to beg askance of the goblin general. Githak's eyes narrowed.
"My commanders are given discretion to choose how best to carry out their orders. I ordered that the humans be eliminated and that none be allowed to escape. I ordered that runners come with news when news is to be had. I gave no order that runners must be back in time for dawn feast so as not to anger human sorcerer and planned battle accordingly. I gave no such foolish orders. You will wait, as I do. Go eat."
"Has there been any word on the progress of the construction efforts in Tankchanek?" Jinzan asked as the general turned to leave. He stumbled over the awkward goblin city name, but had nothing else to call it.
"I have received no news of any progress. The tinkers are still working with the plans you provided, and their last report was favorable. This device is new to my people, but we are eager to learn more about the wondrous things you have described to us. Do not despair, sorcerer, for your plan seems sound. We will build you a device by the time it is needed."
The general patted Jinzan on the arm.
"Have faith in our metallurgists and alchemists."
Jinzan kept his face impassive, but nodded an affirmation to the general. Inwardly, he groaned.
"Of course, faith," Jinzan thought. "Everything comes down to that with you goblins, does it not?"
Jinzan had lived among the goblins for more than a season and had learned a great deal about their culture, including their religion. The goblins believed that so long as they followed their dragon god's precepts, everything would work out in the end. It was a philosophy that grated on Jinzan, for he had never believed that anything would go right unless he forced it to do so by his own will. Nevertheless, the belief in the rightness of their own actions made the goblins fearsome opponents. The very fact that goblin sorcerers engaged in combat at all, especially given that most human sorcerers considered magical combat one step removed from suicide, showed that this belief system aided his plans. Without goblin sorcerers on the battlefield when the time came, his plan might be revealed too soon. Surrounded by a small army of goblins, Jinzan had little choice but to obey the general, so he made his way to the mess line. He more poked at the mush that made up the dawn feast than ate it, though, as he was preoccupied with the lateness of the army's report. By all accounts, the raiders should have made it to the Cadran's campsite before midnight, and he could not imagine a scenario that could cause the battle to be so prolonged that it would still be raging come morning. Jinzan had not half finished with his mush when the goblin sentries raised the alarm that the survivors of the battle had been spotted. Initially, the sentries believed them to be runners bearing news of the battle, and they sent them directly to Githak. Jinzan discarded the remains of his meal hurriedly eager to hear what had happened. 11 goblins in all had returned, the survivors of the battle with the Cadrans, but they only had 5 spears among them. All were fatigued from having fled the battlefield at a run. Jinzan suspected he was not the only one to think these looked less like runners than they did deserters.
"Report! How went the battle?"
Guthak demanded. There was nervous shifting among the survivors, as none seemed to want to step forward and admit what had taken place.
"Well, which one of you is the runner? One of you had best answer me."
A garbled mess of goblin speech followed, as several of the survivors began to speak at once, each relating their version of the events, which Jinzan struggled to understand. Guthak quieted them with a raised hand and pointed to one of the goblins who had been speaking.
We were defeated, General Guthak," the selected goblin said. "Our sorcerers, 3 even, could not overcome the human sorcerer. One of the human knights wielded a foul sword that seemed enchanted to belch forth fumes which harmed all that they touched. We fought them well and killed many. The human sorcerer lost control of his ether and began to throw flames wildly. If he is like our fire hurlers, he must be dead now, as he fell to the ground and lay still afterward. The human knight with the sword we could not kill, though, and a few of us left could not fight off the last of the humans."
Jinzan kept outwardly calm, but his mind was spinning.
How can this be? The Cadrans should not have been able to withstand the attack. The scouts reported that their numbers were few, and 3 sorcerers should have been enough.
The survivor's report held but one bright spot, which was the apparent demise of the Cadran sorcerer, who had defeated 3 of his own. The Cadrans were not known for employing fire hurlers in their battles. The term referred to the inept sorcerers with so little control they could manage no better than to ignite ether as a weapon. A crude tactic, wasteful of ether, and dangerous. It was not uncommon for goblin fire hurlers to draw in more ether than they could safely handle in the heat of battle. When overcome in such a manner, it was almost always fatal to the goblin that had lost control. The bodies became burned out husks, charred from the inside. Goblins were not above bringing such dangerous liabilities among their numbers. But the Cadran sorcerer had to have been better than that. He had bested 3 goblins who were far better than the common fire hurlers Guthak had originally wanted to bring along before Jinzan objected. If the Cadran had been overcome by the ether he had drawn in, it was possible he had survived. Maybe not likely, but possible. Guthak turned from the survivors and clasped his hands behind his back. He appeared lost in thought. Jinzan, however, was not so pensive.
"What are you doing back here, cowering like misbehaving children?" Jinzan demanded. "Why did none of you think to stay behind and watch over the army?"
Jinzan paused, seeming to take note of the blank look on the goblins' faces. They did not understand a word of what he was saying, though they could understand well enough that he was furious with them. Angrily resigning himself to using goblin, he tried again.
"Why you soldier goblins not stay and die, or stay and see? Now soldier humans leave, and you not know where. We blame you. Plan say we not have humans know we come. My plan, and you break it."
"Haru, Bidesi, Lioki, Kwatuan, Gelora,"
Jinzan quickly growled out under his breath, and then made a sweeping gesture with his arms. The goblin who had given his report to Guthak went flying through the air, landing in a bush a score of paces away. The surprised screech the goblin let out at being lifted into the air by magic gave way to a yelp and a dazed moan as the unfortunate soldier apparently survived his flight.
"No failed plan, or more goblin birds there will be," Jinzan warned all the goblins present, survivor or not.
He turned and stalked back to his tent to think in peace. It was a disaster in the making. Jinzan sat fuming in his tent, trying to think of a way to prevent word of their army's presence in Kelvi Forest from reaching Cadran. Surely they must have already been suspicious, thought Jinzan, or they would not have sent an armed force into the woods to investigate. They had obviously underestimated the goblins' presence, for if they had known of the true strength of the expeditionary force, they would have sent far more troops than they had. Jinzan was also troubled by the presence of a knight armed with a magical sword. Such artifacts were rare indeed, since sorcery was required to create them, and sorcerers had little use for them. Most were gifts given to heroes of the empire in reward of great achievement, and they were passed from generation to generation. That could mean that either the knight was distinguished among his peers for his accomplishments, or was the descendant of such a one. The only other ether-forged swords that Jinzan knew of within the empire were those that had been wielded in the bygone days of the warlocks. While he considered it unlikely, Jinzan knew that there existed the possibility that this was a warlock's sword, given to the knight for this assignment due to an especial effectiveness in combating goblins. It was not a comforting thought. Jinzan needed to find answers. He hugged his arms closely to his body, shut his eyes, and lowered his head. He took a deep, steady breath. As he focused on each breath in turn, he gradually extended feelings into the ether, and he began to discern the source of every plant, every goblin, and every stinking oxen in the area. With his eyes closed, he could see the flows of ether wafting from each source, stream into river, river into ocean, filling the very air around him. Every muscle in Jinzan's body tensed as he willed his consciousness into ever clearer focus. He was not attempting to create magic, but to find it. Two human soldiers had been marked by the assassin Gaklar during the night of the first raid. A bit of tracking magic to help locate them should the hunters lose their quarry. Gaklar was no sorcerer, though, and the magic had been a paltry thing. Jinzan had monitored the fighting, waiting for the marking magic to appear to him, and had kept tabs on the two men until the magic on one of them failed. The one that he had been able to watch had been found by Githuk's raiders and had led the way to a second human army camped in Kelvi Forest. The loss of the other man still nagged at Jinzan, and he now sought to find either one of them, hoping to pick up some trace of the marking magic. Jinzan's musing was broken by someone opening the flap of his tent. Turned from his introspection, he was suddenly aware of a clamor of activity outside the goblins' camp.
"Sorcerer, we are moving out. We are going to occupy the humans' campsite and lead our search from there. If any returns to the battlefield, our sentries will find them,"
Githak called into the tent.
"Good," thought Jinzan. "They are not going to sit idle."
Still, Jinzan worried that the humans had a head start in their escape, for surely they would not have remained long after such a battle.
"Send for that assassin. Have him meet us in the Kadrin's camp," Jinzan ordered Githak.
Githak glowered at Jinzan, who realized he had overstepped himself. The infraction went unmentioned, but Jinzan knew he had only so much rope before his noose pulled taut.
"I will dispatch a runner to meet him. Do not worry, sorcerer. My people do not leave business unfinished in such a way. We will hunt these humans down and finish them off before they give away your plan."
Githak managed to save a little face by that last remark, subtly pointing out that it was Jinzan's plan, and not his own, that was going awry. With three of his sorcerers apparently killed by the Kadrin's humans, and without even the small protection that the assassin's presence would have afforded him, Githak was in no position to have a confrontation with the dangerous Jinzan Fair. The runner had been sent to seek out the elite goblin assassin, Gaklar, and the goblin army had set out toward the battlefield, guided by the survivors of the slaughter. The camp had been broken down in a remarkably short time. Tents were packed up, gear was stowed, oxen were laden, and troops were assembled. Quartermasters had overseen the whole of the operation, and Jinzan could quite honestly say that he had never before seen such an organized group in his life. Each knew where everything belonged and directed soldiers to move each item quickly and accurately onto the proper ox. Jinzan lived in the huge port city of Zoran and had seen many cargo ships loaded and unloaded in his lifetime. Those chaotic productions could hardly be any more at odds with the neatly efficient coordination of the goblins. Many of the officers had climbed atop the oxen to ride at leisure, rather than walk among their men. Githak smirked down at Jinzan from his perch atop the back of an ox, as if lording his authority over the human sorcerer as he watched Jinzan plod along among the common soldiers. Jinzan had bluntly refused to have anything to do with the beasts of burden, and made every effort to keep himself upwind from them as he walked. Githak had been quite tolerant of his human eccentricities during his stay with the goblins, but Jinzan knew that he had begun to push the limits of their friendship with his presumptions. Jinzan was important among his own people, but the goblins had scant interest in an alliance with the Migrin. Their current arrangement was one of mutual convenience. At some point, he would have to smooth relations with the goblin general. Jinzan had never been a great lover of nature, and the beauty of the woodland surroundings and the fresh, clean air were lost on him. The sea he could respect, but the woods were a place where things lurked. There were myriad little scents to it that meant nothing to him, and the sightlines were so short that anything might lie in wait just beyond his vision. It was not his place, and he disliked the strangeness he felt traversing it. The walk itself bothered him just a little, though he was careful not to let any sign of weakness show. Jinzan's magical powers had slowed his aging greatly, so that he appeared to be in the hale summers of his middle 20s, despite 20 additional summers' wisdom to the contrary. His time was spent at activities of mind more often than those of body, however, and his limbs were ill-accustomed to long exertion. He grimaced in pain as a cramp worked its way into his calf. Mindful of the watchful eyes of the goblins, he ran his fingers through his thinning hair, a nervous habit he had developed long ago, that he used to draw attention away from his facial expressions as he composed himself. A meditative trance or a spell to mask the pain in his aching muscles could have made short work of such simple aches, but he did not wish to be seen as frail by the goblins. "How strange," he thought, "that I worry these twig-limbed runts will think me frail." They paused a short distance away from the battlefield and sent scouts to search for signs of any enemies left lying in wait around the area. When the scouts reported the area to be clear of Kadrans, the army proceeded into the area. Jinzan saw straight away that the battle had indeed been an incredible slaughter. Camp debris lay scattered and destroyed about the clearing. Many holes had been dug about the perimeter, more than a few containing the broken corpses of goblins who had been so unfortunate as to fall into them, with enemies near at hand. Bodies, both human and goblin, littered the area and the surrounding forest. Most of the bodies bore battle wounds from spear or sword, and there were scorched and burned corpses in abundance as well. Hardened as Jinzan was to Kadrin misfortune, he might have felt some sympathy for the fallen had any of them been lying wounded and suffering. There was something primal and awful about the nearness of death that tugged at his carefully buried compassion. He had never been able to abide the torture of even his most hated enemies, though on more than one occasion he had held sway over the fate of Kadrin prisoners. But there was nothing on the forlorn battlefield to give him pause, just worthless corpses. The dead were beyond pain, beyond his pity. As he surveyed the battlefield, two areas caught Jinzan's eye as he tried to piece together what had transpired. First was a cluster of corpses within a few paces of each other that bore strangely garish wounds. They appeared to have been slashed by a sword, but the wounds festered, looking gangrenous and discolored. Even on skin that had no cut upon it, there were blisters and a rash-like reddening. It was the work of that enchanted weapon, Jinzan had no doubt. The other spot of interest was the scorched region in the middle of the camp. The ground had been burned elsewhere in places, but here it had a baked, cracked look to it, as if there had been an incredible heat for some time that had parched the ground and made it look like a desert. A moment of conferring with the survivors marked the area as the spot where the human sorcerer had collapsed. Jinzan cursed his lack of woodcraft, for he could not tell which way the humans had gone when they fled the battle. Untold days of occupying the site had left footprints and tracks all about, and he could not judge which were the most recent. He sighed in frustration and knew he was going to have to wait for the assassin to track down the Cadrans. Throughout the afternoon, the goblins went about the unsavory task of clearing the bodies from the battlefield. It was a large job, considering that there were nearly as many dead as there were goblins to bury them, and the human bodies required several goblins to move. It could not be helped, though, if they were to occupy the campsite. The carnage was already beginning to attract scavengers. With their small spades, a score or more of the goblins began digging graves just outside camp. Jinzan noted with interest, despite his impatience, that the goblins were preparing the humans for burial as well. He could not tell whether it was a show of respect for the enemy dead, or a mere extension of the pragmatism they showed in laying their own dead to rest, where carrion eaters could not reach them. He knew that his own people would likely have just piled the bodies and set them ablaze. It was quite obvious to Jinzan how little thought the Cadrans had given to the dead. It was nearly dusk when Gaklar arrived at the newly erected goblin camp. The runner that had been sent to retrieve him had not yet returned, though. The fleet-footed assassin had outpaced the runner and left him behind by more than a league. Geklar's business often required covering long distances quickly, and he was as fast as any member of the Assassin's Guild. He held the rank of Master of Eternal Night, second only to the Grand Master of Darkness in the Cult of Knives hierarchy, a position that could not be attained by those lacking in any of the guild's deadly areas of expertise. Wasting no time, Geklar approached the Goblin General and presented himself.
"Your summons was urgent. What task do you have for me? Has your pet human displeased you?"
the assassin asked with a touch of dark humor. Jinzan could not quite keep his nervousness from being reflected in his face, and he found himself running an involuntary hand through his hair yet again.
"There was a battle fought here at dawn," Gathak responded, letting the jest slip, though a smile betrayed that it privately amused him. "A group of humans escaped. Among them are at least one knight, wielding a deadly magical sword, and possibly a wounded sorcerer. How many are there?" "We do not have a count."
Gathak gave a sidelong glare toward one of the goblins who had survived the battle.
"But it was fewer than a score by the account the survivors give." "Am I to kill them all then?"
the assassin asked casually, as if it was a task of no consequence.
"That is your task. I will pay whatever price your guild demands for this service."
Gathak hoped to avoid any lengthy haggling over the assassin's fee, for fear that the human's head start might allow them to reach safety before the assassin caught up to them.
"Very well, then. I will begin my pursuit at once. I trust you will not forget this promise once the job is complete," said Gaklar.
And it was Gathak's turn to shift uncomfortably at the assassin's remarks. The assassin made a search of the immediate area and concluded that the humans had crossed Grey Crag Brook. The goblins' earlier search had noticed the number of tracks near the riverbank, but they had assumed that the humans had merely used the brook to wash. It was too deep for a fording, by their estimation. Gaklar scoffed at their foolishness, pointing out that either the Cadrans used magic to cross, or that the water must not have been too deep for the taller humans to wade. Undaunted by the prospects of crossing the water, Gaklar reached into a small pouch at his belt and pulled out a pair of items that drew strange looks from the onlooking goblins. They were small wooden pieces the shape of an axe head, but much smaller, with strings hanging from them. The end of the axe head shape was hollowed out, and the assassin slipped his toes into the hollows and secured them by tying the strings behind his ankles. The result looked something like a goblin with duck feet. Ignoring the whispered wisecracks from among the soldiers looking on, the assassin began to use some sort of magic. Gaklar bowed his head and closed his eyes, muttering something under his breath. Jinzan strained to make out the barely audible whisper of the assassin's voice, or to discern the subtle motion of the goblin's fingertips as he traced tiny patterns in the air in front of him, but to no avail. He felt the ether swirl into the assassin as the magic came to a climax and was completed. The assassin looked up, appearing satisfied. He took a few running steps in place, his legs moving in a blur, then started toward the brook. In three running paces, he hit the water, and to the astonishment of the soldiers watching him, he kept running. Ring-shaped ripples of water echoed from each shallow footprint left in the brook's otherwise tranquil surface as the assassin sped across, lightly running on the water. In less time than it took the goblins to overcome their surprise, the assassin reached the far bank, where he removed the devices from his feet and quickly disappeared into the forest. Gaklar had little trouble following the trail once he was free of the jumbled mass of footprints that had been left at the campsite, both from the battle and from occupation by human and goblin armies. There was starlight and moonlight in plenty filtering through the treetops, and goblin vision was little impaired by dim light. The heavy feet of the humans marked their path clearly, and there was no evidence that his quarry had made any attempt to obscure it. The assassin followed the human's trail all through the night and the next day, pausing only twice for a quick bit of sleep and a small meal, consisting of dried strips of meat. The humans seemed to be traveling due north, which made the task much easier. Still, Gaklar was wary of deception. The Kadrin Empire lay to the east, across the Cloudwall Mountains, and there were smaller outlying colonies and settlements to the south. North of Kelvi Forest was disputed territory, where the humans were more likely to find enemies than allies. He was watchful always for their path to turn or double back. He knew it cost him time to be so careful, but part of his reputation was earned by never failing a job. That meant that he never allowed himself to make foolish mistakes. In the waning hours of the night, not so long before dawn would brighten the eastern sky, his vigilance paid dividends. The humans had stopped and milled about for a while, then turned west. It was a baffling decision, and Gaklar could only assume that they suspected pursuit and were trying to throw off the trail. After all, travel far enough to the west and they would end up in goblin territory. He followed the trail west and very soon came upon a small cottage nestled among the trees. It was a curious sight, as Gaklar knew of no inhabitants in this part of the forest. Woodcutters made large camps and were clearly marked by large swaths of felled trees. Perhaps this was a trapper's dwelling. The assassin approached for a closer look and could just make out the sleeping forms of a number of humans. He saw no sentries or anyone awake and on guard at all.
"This is too easy," he thought, drawing his dagger from its sheath.
He paused briefly, closing his eyes and trying to feel around the area for sources of ether that would mark hidden animals or humans that might raise an alarm if startled. He was surprised by the amount of ether in the area, but could sense nothing that would indicate a human or nocturnal creature was creating it. It seemed to be coming from the plants in the area, a particularly ether-strong species to be sure. He crept toward the sleeping Kadrins, assured now that only a failing of his own stealth lay between those humans and their deaths. His progress was slow and deliberate as he savored the moment before his easy task was over. Only his own self-discipline kept him from crying out then, when suddenly he felt his dagger being plucked from his hand. Quickly he spun about, still silent despite the sudden movement. He caught sight of a flash of white as something disappeared behind a tree some distance off. He broke into a run to pursue whoever or whatever it was that had pilfered his dagger from his hand, the luxury of stealth lost to him and replaced by the need for quickness of foot. When he got to the tree, he saw nothing there, and as he looked about, he caught sight of the running form of a human cresting a low rise and being lost to his view. Gaklar ducked low as he approached the top of the small rise, and he crawled the last few feet on his belly. He peered over the top and quickly pulled his head back down as he saw a human looking directly at him. The human was sitting on a fallen log with an amused expression on his face. The assassin's initial reaction had been a reflex, wrought of long winters in a profession where paranoia was a boon. With a moment to reflect, he decided that the human was neither running nor hunting him, but rather waiting. Standing up and trying to sort through the bizarre situation in his head, the assassin approached the strange human and hoped for a parley. The human sat watching as he approached, and Gatlar noticed that he now held his dagger in the upturned palm of his hand, as if offering its return. The human was a strange one indeed. He was small, not really so much larger than Gatlar, who was considered rather imposing among his people, and his hair looked white in the starlight. His clothing was crude, though, animal skins stitched clumsily together, and did not look like it would provide protection in battle.
"What you want?"
the assassin asked in Kadrin as well as he was able. "A bit of an explanation about your intentions, if it would not trouble you too much," the human said, astonishing Gatlar with his fluent goblin speech. The human smiled at the assassin's obvious surprise, a sight that unnerved the normally cool-headed assassin.
"So you speak my language, human," Gatlar replied. "But I see no reason to answer to you. You do not look like a soldier, so I do not believe this involves you."
"Perhaps not to your mind, no. But I did not notice you carrying any other weapon, so if you are thinking about murdering anyone in their sleep, I do not expect you shall have much luck. I do not imagine you could strangle any of them to death without waking everyone up." The human casually tossed the dagger into the ground at his own feet, the point sticking into the soft earth.
"So what will you do then, human?" Gatlar asked, inching forward with the thought of making a grab for his dagger.
"Just warn you, I am not going to let you bring harm to the humans who lie sleeping by my house. I merely stole your dagger to bring you away from them, so we would not wake them with our talk. I could just as easily have buried it in your throat as slowly as you reacted," the human answered, and Gatlar stopped his approach toward the dagger. "So do you want this back?" The human reached down and picked up the dagger again, grasping it by the hilt. Gatlar did not know how to answer. Was the human toying with him or bargaining? Should he make a break for cover and hope to evade the human who had snatched a dagger from his alert grasp? He thought back to his own exploits of the previous night, when he had used a spell to speed his own movements. Biding his time, he focused his thoughts into the ether and tried to discern if the human was using a similar spell and whether it had worn off yet. A sudden look of horror crossed the goblin's face, and his thoughts snapped back out of the ether. He stared directly at the human once more, terror evident in his wide eyes.
"It cannot be," he thought.
"Something wrong?" the human asked mildly, arching his eyebrows. The assassin did not stop to answer, but turned and fled toward the west, the easiest direction away from the dangerous human. He was not silent and no longer cared, having found something far more urgent than his assignment for the moment. There could always be another attempt on the humans, but he knew he stood no hope of succeeding that night. A flashing blur sped past Gaklar's face, and he recoiled quickly, hearing a solid thwack just inches from his head. His dagger quivered slightly, embedded to the hilt in a tree just to his left.
"You forgot your weapon," the human remarked in his own language, standing just a few feet away.
The assassin looked at the human in continued amazement, wondering how he had appeared so close by without a sound, then looked back to the dagger just for a moment. When his attention turned back to the human, he was gone. Gatlar scanned the area but saw no sign of him. His immediate, reflexive thought was to peer into the ether winds to check for signs of him, but he dismissed the idea out of hand. After all, he knew he could not find the human that way. He gave a tug at his dagger, but it was stuck fast, not surprising given how deeply it had been sunk into the wood. Calming himself a bit, the assassin used a spell to remove the hopelessly stuck weapon from the tree. Still trembling from the worst fear of his life, Gatlar set off back toward the goblin territory. He needed reinforcements.